This meeting is now being recorded.
And he said, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you. This is Karen Mulberry. I'd like to thank you very much for joining the second plenary call of the RDS Who Is To review team. In front of you, I have the agenda. As we get started, I'd like to ask if there is a volunteer who would want to lead the call from the review team. If there isn't a volunteer, then I will continue on with the agenda.
It's Alan. Why don't we have ask Chris if he can do it, since he's not a candidate for the ongoing chair. It may be the easiest thing.
I'd be delighted to accept I'm on a train. It's extremely difficult for me to do anything other than sit here quietly and listen.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to offer, since this is your review team, and to see if someone wanted to take the opportunity to lead the discussion and walk us through the agenda that we had prepared.
Since you prepared the agenda, it's Alan speaking, since you prepared the agenda, why don't you continue at the moment?
Thank you, Alan. I shall do that. And then hopefully for the next call, we will have some volunteers step up or leadership in place that can take over. Anyway, in terms of welcoming and opening remarks, that is the first agenda item. I also want to note an opportunity, if there's any interest in the review team, on a tutorial on what is a review. I know we have several review team members that are new to the review process. And if you'd like us to set up a separate tutorial to walk you through, you know, what a review is, just send me an email and we'll make those arrangements for you. And we'll get everyone together and just have a separate tutorial on you know, the background on reviews and the expectations and some other details that might be useful for you. Okay, moving along, since we only have an hour. Jean-Baptiste, do you want to recap the informal session at ICANN 59, please?
Hi, Karen. Hi, everyone. Yes, sure. So, hi, everyone. I'm Jean-Baptiste, and for those who don't know me yet, I will be helping the review team with project management going forward. So, on the ICANN 59 recap, I will move one more slide. Perfect. So considering four members of the review team were not present in the room at the time of the informal meeting, we wanted to provide you with a recap of the different topics that were discussed during this session. So after a round of quick introductions, review team members mentioned the planning ahead for the review team and first of all, the identified time for plenary meetings, which is the current time right now, 11 UTC each Thursday. There were no objections on this time, but there were suggestions to revisit it in the fall, considering the change of hours. There was also an interesting discussion and exchange of views on the scope, and above all, interest from all in agreement quickly before anything else, and a suggestion to discuss it via email moving forward. We also tackled possible dates of face-to-face meetings, especially the first one, so those dates were shared with review team members in attendance, and all were encouraged to fill in the doodle poll to identify the best dates. Also during the discussion, there was an ask from present review team members to staff to circulate the background materials, which are currently listed on your screen. I just would like to remind all of you that link to these key documents so are on your wiki's background material page. They include general background on who is RDS and the glossary of terms, current with RDS policies, contractual requirements, advisories, compliance materials, and related procedures. And finally, I would also like to remind everyone that due to the format of this informal session, no decisions were taken during that time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. I don't know if anyone who was there at the informal discussion would like to share any more comments or thoughts to the other members who might not have participated in that session. Alan, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, thank you. There was a fair amount of talk, certainly towards the end of the meeting, and I'm not quite sure if that was still the formal meeting or not, on exactly what the scope should be. And there was a fair amount of opinion saying that we should restrict it to, reasonably restrict it to the review of the last review and to current WHOIS topics, and very carefully not try to duplicate the work that is going on and the other in the other activities, particularly the PDF, the PDP on next generation RDS. There was some difference of opinion exactly what was included within that nominally limited scope and what was not, and I think that's obviously going to be one of our first topics of significant discussion. Thank you.
Any other thoughts based on that informal discussion that anyone would like to share? Okay, moving along in the agenda is the review team leadership and structure. That was presented at your first plenary call for something for everyone to think about, to either volunteer or have some thoughts in terms of what the structure ought to be and how you'd want to approach it. Right now, based on expressions of interest, we have three responses, from people who are interested in playing a leadership role within the review team. Now, just wanted to note that it's up to the review team to determine its structure. Do you want a chair and vice chairs? Do you want co-chairs? Whatever the structure might be, I think this might be useful time for you to at least have a discussion on that, especially based on the responsibilities of the review team itself and the direction you'd like the review to go into once you determine the scope and the work plan and the terms of reference related to all of this work. So I know that there wasn't really a hard and fast date in terms of when you would want to determine your leadership, but I'd like to open it up to see if there's any additional discussion that you would like to have in terms of at least the structure, and then determining some dates when you'd like to make your selection of the review team leadership. Any comments, suggestions? Alan, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think I've already said I prefer a chair and vice chairs, although, two vice chairs, two co-chairs might well be a reasonable alternative to that. I'm not sure the workload warrants anything a lot heavier in terms of management than that. One of the questions that I think is relevant is to what extent do we plan to do a lot of work prior to, and or even fully develop the scope prior to our face-to-face meeting. There's been a lot of discussion on, although ICANN had to convene this meeting, it was not obvious that we have a very tight timeline in carrying it out. And although some certainly would like to get this over within a reasonable amount of time and not make a career of it. Leadership is less important if we are going to defer a lot of the work until our face-to-face meeting, and determining leadership at the face-to-face meeting is not unreasonable as long as the workload is light before then. So I guess I'm interested in knowing to what extent are we really going to dive into this right now or wait for the first, presumably a two-day meeting to really get into the meat of this and have a good briefing. A face-to-face briefing is and discussion, I think, is always more effective than trying to do this remotely, especially with a group of people who are largely unfamiliar with each other. So I guess I'm interested in other people's views on this.
Catherine, you have your hand up? Catherine, are you able to... Sorry, I was pressing the wrong button
for activating my microphone. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Perfect. Just to say that I think that, Alan makes a very good point about the possibility of maybe taking a decision on this at the face-to-face meeting in September or October. And one additional benefit might be that we're still awaiting a possible nomination of the three participants from the CCNSO community, and of course it would have we would have a more legitimate base for our discussion if they were already on board, and that of course is closely tied into this discussion on the scope, because that community has said that they will only decide on whether to nominate and whom to nominate once they have a clear idea of the scope and thus the workload that's inherent in the production of this report. So what we might indeed turn to first is to see whether we can get the scope sorted before the September or October face-to-face meeting, and then see whether we want to decide on the leadership and the overall structure also, you know, in function of the actual scope of the work, which in a sense is also logical, because then we'll have a better idea of the workload and of the possible structure we could apply also to the way we divide up our time for the review.
Thank you, Catherine. Alan?
Thank you very much. There's another benefit, and Catherine alluded to it right at the end, actually. And certainly one of the conditions that I will – one of the issues I will look at in deciding if I really want to take a lead role in this or not is exactly the scope. You know, if we decide on a much wider scope than I feel comfortable with, then it's also going to take a fair amount longer and put and be a more intense effort than I'm imagining, and I might withdraw my offer at that point. So I think the scope is really deterministic. And I tend to agree with Catherine that if indeed the CCNSO is going to participate, they're not likely to do that until we come up with a pretty definitive statement of what the scope is. And they said they could act quickly at that point, and I think that's another good reason for deferring the leadership issue. To that end, I'm happy to act as an acting chair or an acting co-chair if there's any interest in that. Thank you.
Susan, do you have your hand up?
Thanks. This is Susan Calabucci, for the record. Well, I agree to some extent with both Catherine and Alan, but I also think that it'll be more efficient and probably helpful to staff if we step up now and we can remain as interim leadership maybe. But I think to determine that scope and help formulate exactly what we are working on, it would be helpful to have at least an interim leadership in the, you know, determined and to move forward. As part of the RDS working group, I am a vice chair, and I have found that that structure works really well to have several people on the leadership team. And, you know, you can use each other as a sounding board, and also, you know, we are heading – we're sort of in the middle of summer and vacation, you know, take place. So there would always be someone if we had at least the three of us that have volunteered to step forward to work on the scope. I would be fine if we just remain as interim. And I think, you know, it looks like Catherine and I have both volunteered to be, you know, vice chair or co-chair. I'm absolutely fine with vice chair and with Alan leading the charge if he's still interested. So I do think there would be a lot of value in moving forward now, at least on an interim basis for leadership. And then if we have the CCNSO representatives join us, then we could rethink that too.
Alan, you have your hand up?
Thank you. Just to be clear, I agree completely. I don't think we can act without interim leadership. I don't think we can ask staff to assume that role on a longer-term basis than for a meeting or so. So I don't disagree at all with Susan. And I'm happy to either act as three co-chairs or chair and vice chairs on the short term. We have some support in the chat, I see.
Yes, I do. And I can tell you to Stephanie and Catherine's points, to the SSR2 review team actually determined to have three co-chairs, and they are in different time zones, so it's been very useful for those co-chairs to actually be able to have at least one leading the discussion while others might be otherwise engaged or on holiday. So having a good leadership structure has been very valuable for that group. I get the sense that the interim leadership seems to be a very positive and consensus approach at this point for the review team. Whatever you want to call yourself, I see there is some thought on co-chairs, vice chairs. I will leave that up to the three of you. How you want to identify that?
Yeah, it's Alan. I think we don't need to spend a lot of time in this meeting debating that, and the three of us can get together in the next few days and come up with something we feel comfortable with.
That would be fine. Thank you very much.
I can always speak on my own behalf, but I hope that's acceptable.
You see, it seems rather positive in the chat that everyone is agreeable to at least to having interim leadership, and then we can revisit it at the face-to-face meeting in October. And staff thanks you for stepping up into the leadership role, and it's not a role that I think we should play.
It's Alan speaking. Just to help us arrange something, what time zones are Catherine and Susan in? I'm UTC minus 4 at the moment.
Well, Catherine is in Europe, and Susan, I'm not sure.
Oh, dear, 4 a.m. for Susan.
Yeah. Well,
all right, that's a good range.
Yes, so at least we can have different coverage depending on what the needs of the group are. All right. Thank you all for this discussion and for at least a interim path moving forward. Now, moving on, it's the plenary call schedule and what topics you'd like to have for your plenary calls. Right now, based on the doodle poll that we held, Thursdays at 11 UTC were the agreed time for everyone. And we agreed on in terms of a 60-minute call, and that the call would be canceled in terms if there is no agenda for the call. Now, in terms of logistics, if the agenda doesn't go out 24 hours before the call, the call should be canceled, just so that everyone has at least an opportunity to review the agenda and prepared for the call. If that's kind of acceptable to everyone, then we thought we could move on to a summer schedule. Do you want to have a call every Thursday between now and the beginning of September? Or based on holidays and other things, would it be better to have something every other week? And is 1 hour sufficient, or do you want it to be longer? Alan, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, thank you. Given what we've already decided, that is, we're going to try to address scope but not do in-depth work prior to the face-to-face, and I think we've tentatively agreed on that. At least the people who spoke seem to be comfortable with that. Why don't we do a doodle at this point on availability each week? for the next 2 months or so. I sense a fair number of people may be in vacation mode right now, and the attendance at on this call does not seem to be all that heavy. So I'm a little bit worried that we will commit to something on this call that we will not be able to deliver on. And I think the one thing we do need good uniform work on is making sure that everyone's comfortable with the scope, or at least has an opportunity to voice why it is they're not doing it. And I suspect that can be done to a large extent. At least the prep for making the decisions on scope can be done via email. So I'm inclined to try to make sure that we will have good participation on these calls before making a firm decision on whether to do one every week, every 2 weeks, or in fact whether we want to do any in the last half of July and August timeframe, given the vacation periods for some parts of the world.
Thank you, Alan. Catherine, you have your hand raised?
Yes, thank you. This is Catherine. Just to say that I fully agree with Alan that probably having a call every other week would be sufficient, especially if what we want to do before the face-to-face meeting is just discussing the scope. I mean, while that is, I appreciate it's not an easy issue, it also shouldn't take us more than 6 phone calls or 4. You know, I think we'll easily have that that amount of time before the face-to-face meeting. And then I guess the other big task for those of us who haven't been able to do so yet is to review all the materials that you have put at our disposal, and then you to basically bring ourselves up to speed on all the relevant issues, which doesn't necessarily require a lot of discussions in the team per se. So to me it would also sound good to have a call every other week, and as Dmitry already suggested in the chat, maybe we can have a bit of flexibility on the hour if we see that we really need a bit more time, that we can go to an hour and a quarter or an hour and a half if we really need to. And I see that Stephanie is also voicing her agreement on this. So maybe that would be a possibility between now and October. But the question for me would then be really what do we want to achieve until October, and then as a function of that we should decide what exactly we need in terms of meetings and discussions. If it's really only the scope, then that should be perfectly feasible.
Thank you, Catherine. I also wanted to let you know that during the calls between now and your face-to-face meeting, what we as staff have been working on is setting up briefings on the implementation of the prior WHOIS recommendations, so that we can bring people in that actually work on the implementation so they can talk about what they have done and what they're continuing to do along those lines, so that you have an opportunity to talk to them, interact with them, ask them additional follow-up questions. So at least that's what we are focusing on preparing for you, you know, should you want to do that. That way, moving into your face-to-face meeting, you'll have a lot of the background details, and then we can proceed from there.
It's Alan. May I have the mic?
Please.
Yeah. I'm not sure on the briefings whether that is crucial. If we have the time and it fits, I have no problem with it. What we were told at the face-to-face meeting that the wiki, the web is up to date on the current implementation, and I think that will, you know, that's the bulk of what we want to look at. Although we will have to talk with the people who are doing the work. That's the bulk of our work. We know without a doubt that we have to fully review the WHOIS implementation. Not the WHOIS, the WHOIS 1 review team recommendation. So there's absolutely no question in our mind that has to be done, but that in fact is the bulk of our work, and I'm not sure we need to be off on a running start on that. I don't object, but again, I'm worried a little bit about the schedule and making sure that we have really good attendance at these meetings. I tend to support the idea that fewer meetings and slightly longer meetings, perhaps an hour and a half if necessary, are a better idea than a one-hour meeting once a week. And to that end, I would ask for a doodle on a weekly basis. If this time is a good one, then use it between now and the face-to-face meeting and see what availability people have, and then we can make a decision on the list of exactly when we schedule the meetings or where, you know. And of course, we have the option of scheduling meetings and then canceling well ahead of time. But that sounds like the way to go forward. I'm really worried that we'll make decisions on scope and then we'll have people participating who are not active in that discussion.
Okay, I also see in the chat that there were quite a few people who actually were in favor of biweekly meetings and maybe a little bit longer. Just wanted to note that. Catherine, you have your hand raised?
Yes, thank you. I just had a question. This is Catherine. For Alan, on the very last point you raised about people participating later on that would not have been part of the discussion, and would just like to understand your concern because I think it's an important one. Could you maybe explain a little bit more what precisely you mean?
Yes, certainly. Thank you. I'm worried that there are people, certainly if there are any other people in Europe or in North America, who will be largely unavailable for the next month or so, and we make decisions, and then they come back and find that this, you know, we're going in a direction that they didn't agree with, and we have to renegotiate and go over the whole process again. So I understand it's people's responsibility to participate once they've volunteered, but the reality is the next couple of months or the next number of weeks anyway tend to be very difficult to get good attendance at meetings.
Susan, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to the discussion. So I do think I can understand Alan's concerns, but I think via email and phone calls, we could get a lot of work done on the scope between now and September. And actually, if the meeting face-to-face is really not till October, we will have a few weeks to finalize things and get people who may have been disconnected because of vacation time, you know, up to speed in September also. I think the doodle poll is a good idea, but we probably should aim toward, you know, trying to have calls every week. But I think we'd be a little bit more informed if the leadership team took the time to have a call next week, early next week maybe, and really start to lay out a plan of attack. And then we'd have a better idea of, you know, what we need from the full team and how to present it and figure out what the scope is. I mean, I think there's some reference materials out there that definitely the GNSO Council weighed in on the scope. And so, you know, that would be one of the first discussion points, I would think. So, I would like to advocate for setting up a leadership call, and then we could figure, and maybe the doodle polls, and then we could figure out if we could get enough people per week to have a good discussion.
Thank you, Susan. We'll take it as an action item to send out a doodle poll with using every Thursday meeting date and time to see, at least gather the information as to who can participate on what day and the time. So the decision can be made then from the interim leadership. So thank you very much for that discussion. We'll move that to an email exchange.
Okay, Karen, it's Alan. I think Susan got it right on the head, but I think there was a general consensus for doing the doodle for a 90-minute call just to make sure that people could allocate the time should we decide to have fewer calls and slightly longer ones.
Okay, and we will do that. So thank you for the correction. We'll make sure that we have all of that laid out correctly, and then the doodle poll will go out to everyone. Now, what I have here is just an example of some plenary topics that you might consider discussing. And we'll postpone the leadership election. But there are some elements that, you know, you've identified the scope. The review team owes the board its terms of reference. And then we'll walk through the board resolution here in a bit. You have to kind of frame your work plan. You have to figure out your timeline and schedule the plan ahead. And then we would like to schedule briefings for so that we can bring the people in from ICANN org that have been working on the various implementations, and so that they can present what they've talked about or what they've done to implement it, and you have the opportunity to talk to them. And then there's also an obligation for the review team to manage its own budget. And as part of that, we produce a quarterly fact sheet that shows progress, as well as progress based against how much you've spent on the budget's been allocated for this review team. And this is done to make sure that the work of the review team is transparent, as well as showing the community that we're being accountable for the budget allocation and the work that has been put in front of you all. So these are just things to consider as you look at what topics you'd like to have in your agenda. Now, face-to-face meeting, we've had a brief discussion about that, but based on the input from the doodle poll, it appears that October 2nd and 3rd is the best date for the face-to-face meeting in Brussels. We have 10 participants that indicated they could possibly participate in that date, and we had one participant who indicated that they could participate remotely on those dates. So if that is acceptable to everyone, we will go ahead and confirm and get the meeting details started.
Karen, just for our information, how many people are there in the review team? So are we missing anyone in that list?
No. There are 10 review team members right now, with 3 pending from the CCNSO.
10 plus Chris.
Yes. So that seemed to be the best date and time for everyone to participate. And you say if you want to confirm that date, that way we can work with the meetings team to get travel details started and confirm the meeting space in Brussels.
Based on the doodle, it looks like it's the best we're going to do.
Can you put a green check in terms of confirming that this is when you want the face-to-face meeting, please? Okay, thank you, everyone. We will proceed with confirming that date and get working with our ICANN meetings team to make sure we have the arrangements for all of you to participate. Okay, so the next step that I'd like to talk to everyone about is ICANN 60. It's coming up the end of October. And the review team needs to make some decisions. Do you want to hold a one-day face-to-face meeting prior to ICANN 60? And I state it as one day because that's the only availability we have for rooms. Evidently, there's another convention in Abu Dhabi that doesn't depart until the 2 days before the ICANN meeting. So we have one day to meet. And then the second decision, does the review team want to hold any two-hour public consultation at ICANN 60 so that you can gather input from the community? Or would you rather, since you're having your review team meeting, you know, the first face-to-face, the beginning of October, postpone meeting at ICANN 60 and consider meeting at ICANN 61 or at some other time. Susan, I see you have your hand up.
Yes, I was just wondering what if we had a one-day face-to-face meeting at ICANN 60, which day would that be? What day are we talking about?
I believe that would be October 27th, the day right before ICANN 60 starts.
So is that I don't have a calendar. I'll have to look at my calendar.
It's Friday.
Is that? Oh, no. It's Friday. Okay, that's fine. I being on the GNSO Council, then, you know, Saturday and Sunday, you're already booked usually. So.
Yeah, the meeting, it's a 7-day meeting officially running from Saturday through Friday.
Yeah.
Although
the
Friday tends, the last Friday tends to be reserved for briefings and things for the AC's SOs alone.
Mm-hmm. So this is something that the review team itself needs to decide. I wasn't sure if you wanted a meeting since it would only be a couple weeks after your first face-to-face meeting. I know that a lot of you have obligations prior to the start of the ICANN meeting that might interfere with holding a review team meeting the day before.
Yeah, there's about two and a half weeks, just barely 2.5 weeks, including travel time, between the two meetings. I'm not sure. I'd certainly be willing to meet, but I'm not sure how effective it's going to be. The only real effective good thing about it is probably a fair number of the ICANN people who we might want to meet with face-to-face might already be there and minimize travel for ICANN staff. That's about the only reason I can think of why that might be advantageous.
Well, and then the alternative could be to also consider having a public consultation where you can get input from the community. Should you want to do that sometime during the week?
Susan has her hand up, I think.
Yes, Susan, please.
Sorry, that's an old hand.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry.
Alan, you have your hand up?
Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure the merit on a public consultation at this point. We will have just gotten our scope together. So we won't have had an opportunity to publish much ahead of time. We probably could at the conclusion of our face-to-face meeting. I'm not quite sure what we're going to get out of a face-to-face a public consultation at a time when we are just starting to focus on the actual work. We have not done a real review of the any analysis of the review of the recommendations, and I have a little bit of trouble understanding exactly what we're going to be doing at that consultation and what we plan to get out of it. I'm certainly willing to do it. It's, you know, it's an easy thing to do, but I'm not quite sure of the benefits.
Catherine, you have your hand raised?
Yes, thank you. This is Catherine. Just to say that I fully agree with Alan. I'm a bit unsure as to what we would get out of it, especially because as opposed to probably the work of some other review teams, our work is very closely connected to some other ongoing work, and we are getting public feedback on related questions already from other processes that where we can sit in. For example, for me, already the public meeting of the RDS-PDP at ICANN 59 was extremely helpful to hear from other parts of the community what their concerns were with the process and their issues. And I think while it's not precisely relevant to all the parts of our review, it's definitely very good information for us. And I'm even wondering whether at this point, also given the separate tracks that are now going on to somehow address the compliance challenges of the current WHIS before the GDPR comes into full force in May, I'm wondering whether we would risk creating more confusion than we would actually add benefit to the community if we now also start consulting and have to first explain, no, this is not for the PDP, this is also not for this current targeted compliance effort, we're doing a separate review. So I would also prefer to maybe hold any public consultations for the next meeting. And it looks like we're still going to be busy writing our report by the time ICANN 61 rolls around. And as for the meeting before Well, before the 28th, on the 28th of October, I think it would be quite challenging. I see in the chat that a number of people are wondering whether it's a good idea and whether maybe there would be a possibility to have another small informal meeting or formal, however you want to call it, on the sidelines of ICANN 60, but during the days when we will all be there. Because I have to say I found that meeting extremely helpful, and just to quickly touch base during that week for an hour or two would probably be very helpful, even if we've met just 3 weeks before, to reflect on the input we're getting during the week and maybe to see what else we want to tackle.
Thank you, Catherine. I'd also like to note that Lily's comment in terms of it's not compulsory to meet with ICANN meetings. The review team can choose to meet face-to-face outside of ICANN meetings. It is not something that you have to do. It's your choice. And while staff might be available at the meeting, staff is also very busy as well at the meeting. So, it's up to you, and we make arrangements to have staff available to at whatever date and time you feel is most appropriate for the review team to meet. Alan, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I think we've determined that Catherine has an excellent sense of humor, saying we will still be writing the report in March. So I look forward to working with Catherine. I think given that we're not sure exactly where we're going, there are so many hot topics regarding RDS that are not within our scope or have to be dealt with before we even get close to being finished, and GDPR is one of those, that, I think it would be problematic to try to have a public consultation. I strongly agree with Karen that if we can schedule something on the sidelines, perhaps 2 hours or something like that, but let's try to do that early. It's so hard adding a meeting in once the rest of the schedule is firm. So please, let's try to do that really early. But I like the direction we're going in at this point.
I
will point out we are not obliged to meet at during ICANN meetings, but it significantly helps our budget if we do. So I would presume that the norm will be that we will try to meet at ICANN meetings, if only to reduce the impact on budget, if it's practical at all. The proximity to our face-to-face meeting this time, it just makes it probably not as useful as it might otherwise be.
Thank you, Ellen. Susan, you have your hand up?
Yes, I would agree that having I don't think we need a full face-to-face meeting. I think it's on top of – too close to our face-to-face in October. But having a 2 to 3 hour meeting could be very useful. Hopefully, if we determine our scope in the face-to-face meeting in October and start some work, maybe that's being too awkward. I don't know. We may not get much work done in the face-to-face except agreeing on things, but we do have the terms of reference to decide on and agreed on. So I think it would be helpful to have time set aside at the ICANN meeting for us all to meet to do some work on the terms of reference.
Karen, it's Alan speaking. Do we have numbers on how many people are going to be at the meeting anyway and how many we would have to arrange travel for if we wanted the full team to be there?
No, but we can add that to the doodle poll and ask. I believe that there was some comment in the chat. I can go back. That someone wasn't able to attend the meeting in person in Abu Dhabi. But I'm saying we can just follow up and get confirmation as to who is already planning on being at the meeting, ICANN 60, and who is unable to be there or was not planning on being there, that could be there should we plan for a review team session.
Yeah, whether we fund them or not for a two-hour meeting is one of the questions we have to answer, but we have a fair amount of time to do that.
A little bit of time. I mean, because, you know, with the schedule we have, and I ask these questions of you because the meetings team plans far ahead, and they're now already working with the SOAC leadership in terms of the block schedule for the meeting. So I want to make sure that, you know, anything that the review team itself would like to have or the arrangements it needs, we can make sure I get you on the schedule.
Yeah, and travel arrangements are starting in early August.
Yes, they are. So, I mean, I just want to stay ahead of the curve. You can also determine whether you want the meeting to be another informal session, much like you had at ICANN 59, where it's informal and working, without real any decisions being made, but you're progressing the work informally. And then we can pick it back up again afterwards in a formal plenary session. We can cover what transpires so you can have a full discussion with the whole team. And so you have many different options to consider at this point in time. So I'm going to say we will do another doodle poll here, and then you can move forward with making decisions as to how do you want to approach ICANN 60.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, moving right along, I've got Lisa Pfeiffer, who's kind of walking through the board resolution so you have some sense of the initial ask that has come down when the review team was convened. Lisa?
Thanks, Karen. This is Lisa Pfeiffer here. So the board resolution itself is actually fairly brief. To back up, prior to this resolution, there was the call for volunteers. Many of you are probably aware the original call for volunteers for this review team was actually in October of last year, and that call was delayed a few times to allow for broader participation. But in view of that call for volunteers, the board did pass a resolution in February of this year, which appointed Chris as our liaison from the board, and Chris is actually a member of the review team but does serve as the liaison to the board. The resolution also asked for the review team to, as one of its first activities, to develop a terms of reference and approve it. The terms of reference is where we'll memorialize our decisions on scope. As well as the term of reference, then there would be a work plan corresponding to that terms of reference. The original ask was for that to be done by the 15th of May this year. Obviously, that didn't happen because of the delays in forming the review team itself. But one of the activities that we do need to take on very soon is to plot out when this review team, now having been assembled and we know what our first face-to-face meeting will be, to project when we might have a terms of reference assembled, ready for approval by the review team, and then ready to provide to the ICANN board. Now, for those of you that are kind of new to participating in review teams, you might be wondering, well, what is the terms of reference? So I just wanted to give you sort of a brief intro to that. A terms of reference will include some background on the review team's mission, as well as ICANN's mission relative to this review team. The terms of reference will include a set of definitions on related terms. It will include primarily a large section on the scope of work, as yet to be agreed by this review team, but that's where the scope discussion will actually be memorialized and tied back explicitly to the asks in the bylaws. The ask to this review team, and as has been noted several times, the bylaws do ask us at least to look at the implementation of the previous review team's recommendations, as well as to consider the OECD guidelines for the protection of privacy and transborder flows of personal data. The scope may, of course, include other things once we have that discussion that would be memorialized in the terms of reference. The terms of reference also will include a timeline that plots out the work based on that scope, and some information about the operation of the review team. For example, the responsibilities of leadership, the responsibilities of individual review team members, and a discussion of how electronic tools might be used by the review team to conduct its work. Some rules about how meetings will be held and transparency of those meetings, how subteams might be used by the review team, how independent experts might be used, and also any agreements regarding travel support. Now, in preparation for your work, staff has actually already developed a skeleton in terms of reference for this group to fill in, but there is considerable work to be done to actually define that scope and flesh out the work plan that would correspond to that scope. So hopefully that gives you some context for the board resolution and what we should be striving for out of the scope discussion. Any questions? I see Alan has his hand up, and I'll turn this back to Karen now.
Thank you, Lisa. Alan, please.
Yeah, thank you. Lisa, you said that there is a skeleton available. Is that posted with the rest of the documents, or can we get it distributed to the list?
It is not yet posted. We can certainly distribute it to you. We have a skeleton available that's been through a number of cleanup iterations amongst staff, but one thing we're working on right now is aligning it with sort of a standard template that will be used for terms of reference. So it might take us another day or two to get that to you, but we can certainly distribute it for your consideration.
Doesn't sound like a problem to me.
Okay, any other questions or items you want to note in terms of the board resolution?
I mean, clearly we're going to have to come up with a potential deadline. It's not going to be till, I would say, at least a few weeks after the Abu Dhabi meeting. You know, hopefully by the Abu Dhabi meeting, we will have a pretty well scope defined, but at that point we're going to have to start putting together a team, the timeline and work plan. So I think we're probably looking at something late in the year, early December is going to be probably about the earliest we're likely to have it ready. Just to set expectations, but I don't think we can consider setting a real date until we, see our meeting schedule and the other things like that.
And thank you, Alan. And what you might ask is have Krista Spain as the board liaison just keep the board apprised of when you anticipate having a response back to the item that they've requested.
I note he's dropped off. I guess his train is in a tunnel.
Yes, but I mean, I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware and that if possible, you just keep the board informed that you do intend to do this and that you'll let them know when you have a better date to manage their expectations.
I think we can say with assurance it'll be the next board that we're delivering this to.
Well, I will leave that up to you. Okay, moving along, observers. Now, we've had a couple of discussions on observers, and I just want to keep that in front of you because we actually have six observers in the observer Adobe room following the discussions of the review team. And the bylaws do note that, there may be a limited number of members on the review team. There are an unlimited number of observers that have been encouraged to follow the work of the review team. So I just want to keep this in front of you so that you can have an understanding of the observers and consider as you move through your work how you might want to include or encourage comments from the observers or allow them to participate in any of your discussions. So just something for you to consider. Catherine?
Yes, thank you. This is Catherine. Just to ask who the observers are, did you just say there were six observers already?
Yes, I'm saying Brenda just let me know that there were six of them following the discussion. Brenda, I don't know if you posted the observers in the Here they are. The names are in the notes.
All right.
And what we did was all of the applicants for the review team who were not nominated and chosen to be members of the review team, we did go back and ask them if they would like to be signed up on the observer list. Now, note that the observers do get sent out the agenda, and then they get links to their own observer room. Only the review team members get links to this room.
Okay, so they can follow our discussions, but they cannot actively participate. Is that correct?
Well, that's the way it's set up right now. They have their own separate chat room and everything else. Now, what we have done and what the SSR2 review team is doing is actually having the observers capture questions or statements in the chat room that are then read in by the secretariat to the main review team room, should you want to consider that, whatever comments you're making, or you can ask them to do that at certain points if you want comments from them. But there again, it's up to the review team to determine how you would like to interact and engage with any observers that might be participating or following your work. It's not a decision you need to make now, but I think as the work progresses, it would be useful to have at least some decisions made framing how you want to work with your observers. Alan, you have your hand up?
Yeah, thank you. I think what we're doing right now is fine to go ahead, and it probably will not be until the face-to-face meeting that we come to a head and decide whether exactly how we're going to work. I suspect we're going to end up with something close to what we have right now. But, and you know, the concept of accepting questions from observers and things like that sounds quite reasonable. I also suspect the interest will drop off as we continue working.
I can tell you from the other review team, interest comes and goes. It's like a wave. There's a lot, and then there's none, and then there's a lot. So just to manage your expectations along those lines. But I just wanted to keep that in front of you, and what we can do is just we'll note that for the face-to-face agenda so that you can bring it up again, and it will no longer appear on your weekly agenda as a topic you might want to consider. All right, so last item is any other business that anyone would like to raise. If there is nothing else, we're actually at the top of the hour that was scheduled for this call. I'd like to thank everyone for the discussion and for participating, and we will get the doodle poll out so we can determine whether there's going to be a call next week on the 20th of July, or you want to postpone that to the 27th or whatever the schedule might be. And we'll circulate the action items to everyone. And then Alan and Susan and Stephanie, we can be back in touch with you on how you might want to set up any leadership calls and discussions to see how you would like us to work with you on all of that.
Thank you for taking the lead on this, Karen.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you all for stepping up so that I can step back a little bit. All right. Everyone have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen, can you include Gisela on a mailing list for setting up any meetings, both leadership ones
yes.
and regular meetings?
Yes. I'll make sure that her address has been included.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.